And please do turn to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 22 through 26 of that chapter. 22 through 26. There we read, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So now that we've finished the Ten Commandments, we want to look at the fruit of the Spirit. And I was trying to think through, why do we look at the fruit of the Spirit in the context of these exhortations? Well, as you know, these exhortations take place right before the confession of sin in our order of worship. They are designed to prepare us to confess our sins, helping us to see where we have failed in light of God's Word, and prepare us to ask for God's mercy and ask Him to help us to obey His Word. Our catechism gives a very helpful definition of repentance. It says that repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God, with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. And that's really what I'm trying to do with these exhortations, is first of all, help you get a better sense of your sin, then direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is found mercy. Hate your sin, turn to God in prayer, and endeavor after new obedience. That's what this is about. So this fruit of the Spirit provided by the Apostle Paul, this list, it helps us to see our sin, look to Christ, pray for His mercy, and then endeavor after obedience in these things. So before we actually look at each of the fruit of the Spirit over the weeks to come, I want to give some foundational principles that will help us to understand the fruit of the Spirit, how to rightly apply the fruit of the Spirit. So there's four principles I want to give you this morning, and the first one is perhaps the most obvious, but it bears repeating. Principle number one, the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit. This may seem too obvious, but in fact it is not. We often forget that these fruits are not the fruits of our own self-effort. They're not the fruit of Josh's labors or Kevin's labors or Joel's labors or whoever it may be. Rather, the Spirit is at work in us to produce these things. And it is only by means of the Holy Spirit that we're enabled to kill sin and to live according to God's commandments. And so when we do see these things in our lives, we give thanks to God for them. And as we do these exhortations, I don't want us to forget that the Holy Spirit has been at work in this congregation. Yes, we have things to confess, but we also have things to be thankful for. The fruit of the Spirit is evident, and I am thankful for that. So that's principle number one. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit. Principle number two, the fruit of the Spirit can only come if we are in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. We can only experience this fruit if we have Christ. In John 15, Jesus describes himself as a vine, and he says, "You as this plant, you got to abide in this vine to grow." He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." So without Christ, we are totally unable to do these things, but in Christ we're able to do many things. It says that we bear much fruit in Christ. So the fruit of the Spirit, number two, can only come from our union with Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've learned those two principles. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit can only come before in Christ. But then, what are we to do in light of that? Well, principle number three is, it is our responsibility to pursue and develop these things in our lives. Of course, we know it's not true to say that the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit, therefore I do nothing. It is true you can't do it by yourself, but it's also true that you must do something as well. We are told by Paul in the same passage, walk by the Spirit. And I went through the New Testament and Old Testament as well and looked through to figure out, where are these things commanded? Is every single fruit of the Spirit commanded somewhere in Scripture? And sure enough, it is. And there's many passages that could be multiplied, but I'm just going to kind of read some of these off to you real quick. Love, that one's easy. I found lots on that one. 1 John 3, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us this commandment. Joy, Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say, rejoice. Peace, pursue peace with all people in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12. Patience. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. James 5. Kindness. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4. Goodness. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Romans 15. Faithfulness. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2. Gentleness. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Titus 3. Self-control. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. 2 Peter 1. So you get the idea, right? The Bible tells us to do all of these things. Every single one of these things we are to pursue with diligence, with the Spirit granting these things to us as we pursue them. Okay, so those are the three principles so far. So principle number 4. The fruit of the Spirit is fruit, singular. Notice we sometimes say it's the fruits of the Spirit, and that's okay in a sense, but really, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit. That is to say, the fruit of the Spirit is a package deal. We get all of these things by the work of the Spirit. Sometimes we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Well, those are varied, right? Each of us have different gifts. Some don't have this gift, some do have this gift. But the fruit of the Spirit isn't that way. It's not that some Christians get some joyfulness, and some Christians get some gentleness, and some get self-control. Rather, all of these things are given to us. You can't just pick a particular fruit as your favorite, or the one you're best in. You can't ignore these other ones. You can't say, well, I'm a joyful person, but when it comes to self-control, I can't do anything. You can't use those kinds of excuses, right? Because it's one fruit. It's something that the Spirit works in all of us. Now, it's true that we have different temperaments, right? Some of us are particularly joyful. Some of us are particularly self-controlled. Some of us are particularly patient. But whatever the case, we ask for all of these things as the fruit of the Spirit. We all need all of these things. And we also know that what the Spirit begins, He's going to complete. The Spirit is not content to leave us with some sins, so we should not be either. And if we're going to say that He's not going to grant me this particular fruit of the Spirit, what are we saying about the work of Christ? Is Christ's work sufficient to give you joy but not self-control? We can never say that, brothers and sisters. The Spirit is in the business of sanctifying us through and through. Okay, to summarize then, our four principles once again. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit. That's number one. Number two is the fruit of the Spirit comes from our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do anything apart from Him. Thirdly, it is our responsibility to pursue and develop these things in our lives. And fourth, the fruit of the Spirit is a package deal. This is what the work of the Spirit looks like in the life of the Christian. So what do we do in light of this today, in light of these principles that I laid out? Well, first of all, we need to in recognition of the Spirit's work in us, we need to pray that He would work in us these things. So we need to ask the Spirit to cultivate this fruit in our lives. Secondly, it is also our responsibility to pray for this fruit of the Spirit, but then also to develop it in our lives, and therefore we must endeavor after new obedience. And so we ask God for help to be able to do these things where it is sometimes so difficult for us to do. So let us pray in light of those things. O God in heaven, we thank You that You have worked in the life of this church, that the Spirit is at work to change us and transform us into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be thankful when we see what You have done in the lives of us and the lives of others. And we do ask that as we look at this fruit of the Spirit, that You would help us to long for these things, that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that it would be our desire to seek and pursue these things, and it would be our desire to ask them from You, because we know that You have said that You will give us Your Holy Spirit if we ask for it. And now we do take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.